Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning Envy Pro Call. Today is September 22nd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by going to MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. We absolutely love having you on live, though. But I really want to say how much I appreciate those of you that download and listen to it later. I met several of you last week at Tri-State and frequently talk to you guys. So I definitely appreciate the feedback and the comments and knowing that you guys are there. But when you have an opportunity to hop on live, I'd love to have you join the conversation. It's always great to get the new perspectives and, you know, the different ideas and everything. So I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, except I'm going to give – I do this on occasion as I ask these questions. I give just a brief explanation just because I know that it's possible we have some new listeners this week after some of the conventions and stuff like that. So I want to kind of explain why I ask the questions that I do at the beginning of each week and kind of what this call is. So we created this call to create a forum where we could all kind of get together and talk about what we all do, regardless of which product or company we represent. There's too much knowledge out there for us not to get together and share. We all run into the same things out there all the time. So that's what this is. It's a place for us to learn from each other. We do not talk products and we don't talk company, but we do talk about what we all run into. And I start the call, unless we have guest speakers, which we do on occasion, I start the call off by asking three questions, which is, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? I like to ask that one because even after 24-plus years of being in this industry, there are things where I hit those, oh, my God, I wish I had known that before moments. And I think this is a great place to share with each other on that type of thing. You know, new or old, I think that we can learn from each other on those experiences, things that we've never run into. And I also like to ask, is there anything anybody learned this last week or anything that happened this last week that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? So something that you feel that you can share, that you can teach, you know, an experience that you had that may have been unique or anything like that. And then the third one is there anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have? And sometimes we'll get technical questions on that or, hey, I ran into this situation. How can I, you know, have you run into this? How do I handle that? Sometimes it's, you know, a customer said this. How do I address this? You know, what would you have said type stuff? Again, not talking specific company or product, but more the conversation in general. So I'll open it up with those questions today. Again, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country or anything we can help you with? Any questions you might have?
It's Stacy here. I have a question.
Sure, Stacy.
I've had this customer who I put the softener in about, at this point in time, 6 years ago. For ages, we had issues, and we're still having issues with, I cannot get it. It's only 30 grains of hardness and 4 parts per million iron. It's designed to take care of the iron. That's not the issue. I can't get it below 4 grains of hardness. And we just recently did and got the results back on the nuisance bacteria, and it is high in, it's aggressive in slime bacteria. Mm. Only moderate in the iron, no sulfur bacteria, sulfur-reducing bacteria. but I was talking to one of our other reps in a different office, and he's having the exact same issue with the same softener, and it also has a high slime bacteria problem. We just recently rebedded the softener and it was full of slime bacteria, which is why we did the test. But I still can't get it below 4 with fresh resin. Is the slime bacteria causing it not to be totally soft?
So I don't. First off, there's a couple things that I have to respond to. I love how you say only 30 grains hard and 4 parts per million of iron, and I can hear other people listening to this call kind of go, what? Because when you work in an area, a lot of times in the Midwest, that's a pretty common, water analysis. That's not that much. And I'm thinking of you, Maria. You're going, 30 grains of hardness and 4 parts per million of iron? Really? Only? Because I know what you run into for hardness out there. You're like, 4 grains of hardness, that's pretty typical out here. That's the max we run into.
I have tested as high as 52 with 5 parts per million iron.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the other thing I can say, I mean, the first thing as you were describing that came to mind was high sodium content, that there might be a lot of sodium in the water. Any idea from that? What the sodium count is? Because, sometimes you have something in the water that is working against the, it's almost regenerating it while it's, while it's softening. So you can, if you have high amounts of sodium. Something like if the pH is low and you have a lot of hydrogen, then you could run into that as well.
PH is about 7.5.
Okay, so it's a higher pH. Beyond that, I want to open it up. Is anybody else? I'm not sure. I mean, when you talk about slime bacteria, I don't know that I have run into anything like that that I have ever called slime bacteria. So describe that to me. Tell me what you're talking about when you talk about slime bacteria. And has anybody else run into this? So I'm not the only one on here with the experience. This is why we open it up to these things. Anybody else run into this?
Our lab does a nuisance bacteria test for iron-reducing bacteria, sulfur-reducing bacteria, slime bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently it's kind of glunky and slimy inside.
Interesting. So this is on a well, obviously. It's not city water.
Right.
Have we chlorinated the well or shocked the well at all and disinfected the unit?
They have. It's been a while. And as I said, we just rebed the unit.
Yeah. Interesting. Anybody else run into slime bacteria or this type of situation?
It's weird. This is Sam Tyler. I would assume that if it wasn't stripping the hardness out, you would also get some iron getting by the softener too. Is that happening?
Good question. Good point.
There is also an iron filter on here that we've put in since, because they've been in this house 50 years. Dear old long dead dad did some weird plumbing, because we had to put in an iron filter before, because they had their own separate kitchen sink faucet that was not going through the softener, because she likes her well water.
So what, Stacy, what type of iron filter is there? An aeration system?
Yes, it's an iron clear.
And are you using chemical injection on that?
No, we're getting ready to look at doing chemical injection.
You got it, because if you've got bacteria in there, throwing an aeration filter on there, all you're doing is you're like the pizza delivery gal at the bacteria party. You're like, hey, food's here. Dig in, everybody, because they love the aeration. They love the oxygen. So all you're doing is, if you're aerating that and you've got even a slight bacterial problem, you have moisture and oxygen are going to cause that bacteria to just they're going to reproduce like crazy. It's going to be like eyes wide shut happening inside that thing.
Because we originally, I met this, it's a mother and her son that lives with her to take care of her 6 years ago when I put in the first system. And since then, we've put in an arsenic filter and the iron filter.
Yeah.
I was talking to him last time, and it's like, because I said they've been there. They built this house over 50 years ago. And she asked me, why all of a sudden has it changed? And we got to talking. Well, they dug the well deeper 5 years ago.
Yeah. So, Stacy, I'm going to
– really started happening.
I'm going to suggest that, I mean, if only there were like a Facebook group or something like that. Sam, can you think of any place like that where somebody might
Yeah, I think I know one, Water Treatment Pros. There's a lot of knowledge on there. Help you out, sure.
Yeah, I might post that. And actually, if you have some pictures and even just a generic water analysis report, you know, to put on there, Stacey, I'd absolutely recommend that.
Yeah.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with Water Treatment Pros, I'd absolutely recommend you check that out, too. It is a Facebook group that Sam created, what, 5-6 years ago, Sam? And there are thousands and thousands of professionals on there. We keep it very professional. We moderate the heck out of it and to make sure that we're playing nice with each other. And it is a print and digital version of what I tried and do a little bit with this call, you know, except there just a lot more information, a lot more people there. So, Stacey, I'd definitely check that out. I want to kind of move over to our topic, if I could, this morning for a little bit. And this was spawned by what happened last week. So most of you know that we did not have a call last week because of, you know, we had mid-year, the leadership conference for WQA scheduled. And on Sunday evening, I went to bed early because I had to get up at 4 to go catch a plane. And wanted to get to the airport in time and not miss my very long flight out to Reno, and was looking forward to seeing everybody in person. I love the leadership conference from WQA because it's not as busy typically as the regular conventions we have, you know, the annual convention. And you have just an opportunity to really talk to people who are really committed to the industry. And if you ever have an opportunity to go to a leadership conference for WQA, I strongly encourage it. It's awesome. But I woke up at 4, was getting ready to leave, checked my email and text messages on my phone, and overnight it had been blowing up because, lo and behold, they canceled the live conference because of really poor air quality out there in Tahoe because of wildfires. So suddenly, you know, instead of driving to the airport, I'm scrounging around calling the airline, calling Airbnb to get, you know, trying to get the refunds, canceling the rental car, you know, canceling all the stuff that we needed to take care of. And then rearranging schedules because now they're doing it virtually. In a couple of the days that we had, you know, scheduled, I'm in town now, and I'm, you know, there's other things to work on. And it was interesting, you know, just how quickly we had to reschedule and do everything. I can't even imagine the work and effort that WQA had to do to, you know, to cancel that and to send that out. And they did a phenomenal job of putting together the virtual program that quickly. It was amazing. But it made me think about when I was in sales, and, I mean, even just this industry. This is not a 9-to-5 industry at all. And it's not an organized. I tell people that when we interview and hire them, that if you're looking for a job with structure and organization where you know what your schedule is, it's set, it's going to be there in stone, this is not the right job for you. This is not, I mean, it's, you can kind of create some routines, but things blow up. You know, I was thinking about how when I first started, I had planned out, I tried to plan out my week. So I because I had a protected territories on, you know, I set each day to know what section of my territory I was going to be in. So, you know, so on Tuesdays, I knew I was going to be in Handy Township. On Wednesdays, I was going to be in Iosco Township. Our territories at the time were based on, you know, townships. And so that's where I focused. I knew where I was going to be, and I did that so that I could schedule stuff in the future, you know, even weeks or months in the future, knowing that I was going to be in that area on that day. You know, so I scheduled it that way. I originally first started doing that on Mondays as well. And what I discovered on Mondays, for whatever reason, was that was the day that always seemed to blow up. You know, you go, okay, I got to do this and this and this this week. And I you know, get up and start to work on Monday and have every intention to head out to the territory that I was going to go and or to do the things that day, and the phone would start ringing. I had to get the paperwork in. Oh, man, I got to prepare for this. I have that. And it would – Mondays just seemed to be the blow-up day. I ended up spending all the day in the office, and it always put me back. So I rearranged my schedule. I changed it to where I just gave in. Okay, Mondays are my office day. That's the day that I'm prepping for the week. That's the day that I'm getting ready. That's the day that I'm making my phone calls to schedule my follow-ups or to confirm my appointments. You know, that's the day that I'm working in the office. And even then, there are times, especially if you're getting a lot of house leads, where you have those scheduled and you think you're doing it. You know, you're going to be doing something. You have time to do something, and the office calls and says, hey, I need you to run out and run this appointment. Or you've got to run out and do check a customer's water because they say it's not working or it's not using salt or whatever. You know, there's all those things. So the question that I had for you guys and what I wanted to discuss for a few minutes today is, what do you guys do to, number one, what types of things throw off your schedule? You know, let's talk a little bit about that. But then what do you do to prepare for those unexpected sudden changes? I mean, the thing about this industry is I call them unexpected changes, but they're kind of expected unexpected changes because they happen so much. So what types of unexpected changes happen with you guys, and how do you, what types of systems do you put in place to prepare for that? You know, what do you do to prepare for those? I mean, how often does your day go when you wake up in the morning? Does your day go the way you thought it was going to be when you woke up? You know, so let's talk a little bit about that. And go. What do you guys think?
It never goes the way.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm in one appointment yesterday, my later appointment, which I texted to confirm. Can we change this to tomorrow so my husband will be home? Well, that would be great, but my next evening available appointment is next Thursday. Because I'm already all booked up. I said I could try. I will not swear. It depends on how long my 6:30 takes. That I could swing by because I got to go right by their house basically on my way. Oh, that would be lovely. I'm thinking, so help me God, if eating dinner while I'm there, I'll leave.
Yeah.
But people just want to change appointments willy-nilly. And it's like money had by appointments.
So let's talk about that for just a second. Sam, I want to get to you too. But let's, you know, I think that is, I love the way you handled that as, yeah, I tried, but it is important. You know, we've talked about this before about how we have to show, we have to teach our customers that we are professionals like anybody else. So if you call the doctor's office and say, I can't do it until 3, I've got to have my kids, the doctor can, they'll try and squeeze you in, but they may not be able to. And that's just a fact. You may lose your appointment. And so, you know, and for us, it's hard, you know, we're incentivized to want to do that because we don't want them to go somewhere else. But if we're professional and you handle it exactly the way you did, Stacey, say, yeah, I'm going to try and accommodate you, but you know, I'm booked up. That at the very least will make her not, hopefully will make her understand that the next time, you know, whatever appointment you reschedule, she's going to keep that one. I will tell you, I've had those customers that call and reschedule like 4 or 5 times. And, you know, I'm always the one that gets bumped. I'm sorry, at that point, I'm like, I'll try and do it, but I have a schedule. I have a job and you're disrupting my job. So Sam, what were you going to, what was your comment?
Yeah, well, I was just going to touch on, like, maybe, like, emergency scenarios where somebody has a leak or something like that. And for me, the best tool ever is that bypass valve. Because it can you know, shut water off to the equipment, but they still have water coming into the house. But a lot of times, too, it is really difficult to schedule something like midday or in the morning, because people, you know, they work throughout the day, and the only time they're available a lot of times is like late in the afternoon or on a Saturday, you know. But in most cases, we're able to get to people within, you know, 3 or 4 days, or if it is a real dire situation, you know, we can accommodate them and get there that day. But,
you know, I think that you talked about, you know, scheduling stuff midday. We ran into that with the WQA certification classes, you know, because they're doing the instructor-led courses now. And, you know, we've had a lot of conversation over when is the best time to schedule that, you know, do you do it at 8 o'clock in the morning? Well, that's great as long as the phone didn't blow up at night with emergency service calls and you're running out, you know, because like now with the instructor-led classes, you're only allowed to miss two of them, you know, through the whole thing, and you have to attend them. And that's hard when you know, your business, you have those customers screaming at you and you need somebody to answer the phone, and, you know, it's hard to do. And you can't really, it's hard to do it midday if you're out in the field or you're doing that type of stuff, because you never know what's going to happen. Sure, you can put it on the schedule and say, yeah, I'm going to take my lunches and do this class on this day. But things by midday, you've worked a week's worth sometimes. And, you know, we have to kind of mix them up. I mean, the class that I'm teaching is on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Yeah. That's, you know, by then people are sometimes spent. they've been dealing with all this stuff all day and their brains are fried, you know. So you're exactly right. It's hard to schedule even those set things. So Tam, let me ask you, do you build in a cushion for those types of things? I know that there are some companies that, you know, that because it's so common, when they schedule a little cushion through the day, you know, for that reason.
Yeah, do you build in? When we do installs, a lot of times I can get done by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so if we do get a call like in the morning, you know, a lot of times we can get to them like later in the afternoon. But, you know, most people understand too that there's only so much time in the day, and you're a business and you have a lot going on. So, and if it's like a water quality problem, most people can get by a few days with a little bit of staining or something like that. And they understand, especially in this climate right now with you know, all these contractors are so busy that people get it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody's sort of buried. What else, you guys, what are you guys, Maria, I know you're on the call, or you were earlier. I know that you are, like, you schedule your stuff like crazy. I mean, I know that you know, you work all hours. What do you do to handle how do you organize or handle those, you know, those unexpected events that happen on a daily basis?
I'm busy
Ray, hey, okay. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, hop in there. Sorry, I was asking Maria, but yeah, go ahead, Ray.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry. I thought
No, but I'd love to have your feedback. I put Maria on the spot, so I'll put you on the spot. Go for it.
I carry my laptop around, so if I get, you know, I've always got something to do, scanning cards, put in notes, so I keep busy. So,
sure.
Or try to schedule something with somebody close by, you know, make a cold call there. So it's always easy when you're outside.
Sure, when you're close by. Sure. Okay. Maria, are you there?
Hi. Yeah, I'm still here. So I do my best to accommodate, you know, the clients as much as I can. I, you know, if I have to move things around or go later or, you know, I try to accommodate, and, you know, there are things that come up, whether, you know, sometimes you show up and, oh, I forgot you were, you know, I sent the message. I called the office yesterday, which, again, they usually didn't, but that's fine. You know, so, again, you do the best you can to accommodate. It's the business, you know.
Yeah, and I think you're right, and I think kind of between what you and, you know, Stacy were talking about, you try really hard to accommodate. I mean, we are in a service industry. This is what we do. We're there to help people as much as we can. But I do think that it's really important. I think this is one of the things that I'd like you guys all to take away from this, is that if we are considering ourselves as professionals, then we have to emulate what other professionals do. And we do work by appointment. We work on schedules. This is what we do. And so, yes, we want to try and help. Yes, there are those emergency situations. You know, I mean, if I'm really super sick and I have to go to the doctor does try and make an effort to get me in. You know, they, you know, if you've ever gone to an emergency room over a, you know, you just need stitches on your thumb or something, you know, you're not prioritized as high as the you know, the person who came in with, you know, a life-threatening situation, you know, something that's a lot more severe than the thumb, you know, and so we kind of have to do that as well. We can try and accommodate. We're going to get to people, but you know that, and we do know that those customers that they're getting a little staining, or sometimes the ones that you that could simply bypass it or just have this little, my reverse osmosis system stopped working. And it's like life or death. Oh, my God, this is tragic. We have to be out there right now. We want to calm them. We want to make them, yes, I understand. You know, it's, but that's not a life-threatening thing. Is it leaking? No, there's no water anywhere. It's just not coming out of the faucet. All right, then I get it. That's important. You paid a lot of money for this unit, and you want your drinking water. I do, too. That would bug me. But that's not a critical – that's a first world problem. You know, that's not worth it. And, you know, we kind of have to prioritize. We want to get out there. We want to help them. We want to figure it out. That is what we do, but it's not, you know, it's not this life or death thing. I mean, I've run into that with, you know, the internet goes down, you call the internet company, you know, or something like that. Something, you know, and you need it, right? I mean, I run a business. If my internet goes down, It creates a big problem. It's kind of a challenge, you know. And I call the internet company, and they say, yeah, well, we should be able to get out there tomorrow morning. Yeah, it sucks, and it's frustrating. But I also understand that it's not life or death. Nobody's dying because my internet's down. You know, there are ways to get around that. And so we want to be empathetic to the customers. We want to let them understand that we you know, that we want to help, that we are making every effort to get out there. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, is to make sure that they understand that, okay, we are going to try and accommodate it, but we can't just drop on a dime. You know, we're not going to suddenly just get up, you know, cancel all of the other scheduled service. And that's what I would say to them, is if we already had you on a scheduled service call, would you want us to cancel your service call so we could go take care of something like this for another customer? You know, so this is what we have to do. You know, so if we had if you called and scheduled a service call last week and I called you and had to cancel because another customer didn't have reverse osmosis water, how would that make you feel as a customer? You know, so we if you can help them understand exactly the situation that they're in, look, we want to accommodate you. We're going to do it as quick as we can, but we have to do it, you know, we have to juggle around. This was an unexpected service call. Any final thoughts on this before we finish up today? I mean, it is the nature of what we do, right? It is the nature of our business. This is what we do. So any final thoughts? All righty then. That brings us to 9 o'clock Eastern. Thank you, everybody, very much. We're glad to be back. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. So be safe, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.